Start your engines!
Crank them up, gang. Crank them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
After Talladega shuffled the playoff picture, how much more could the Roval shuffle things before we cut it to 8? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters. With me this week, Dustin Long from NBC Sports and Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network, presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Dustin and Pete here. And Pete, you know, Dustin knows you work on the Big Ten Network at Sirius, and he would love to talk Indiana football, but we have so many things to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyway, I talked to Mike Woodson at basketball as well, Dustin. So you guys are looking for good seasons on both ends of things, but we need to talk NASCAR here today. You're right,
there you
Brad.
Go. Yeah, and he did wear red, so there you go. He's got. If he pulled back his jacket, we might see an Indiana logo too.
No.
Okay, well, we'll go from there. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Talladega has. There are a lot of storylines coming out of Talladega, and the first one I think the most interesting one, Dustin, is how this 27 car pileup really turned the playoff field upside down.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I don't know. I mean, I think some people have kind of noticed it, but I mean, I'm not sure if everybody's talking about it, but just how significant that moment was. And I'd say, like, you know, one of the biggest winners was Denny Hamlin. And, you know, at the moment, before the accident, he was running 32nd. He was 24 seconds behind the leaders. As he said, he was like a mile and a half behind the leaders because he'd fallen off the pack. And, based on our points system that we were showing on the NBC broadcast, he was 17 points below the cut line. So, you know, Denny was going to have to go at that point looking like he was, you know, he was going to have to pick up a lot of points. He was going to for the Charlotte Roval. And, you know, he's had some ups and downs on road courses. So it was going to be a challenge. But you have the accident. Everybody wipes out in front of him. All of a sudden he gets a top 10 and now he's 30 points to the good. So all he has to do is get, you know, a decent amount of stage points. If he can qualify well and get decent enough stage points in the first stage, he's not guaranteed at that point yet, but he's in a very safe, relatively safe position. So I think Denny Hamlin was probably the biggest winner out of it. Austin Cindric, certainly the biggest loser in the sense of he was leading in wrecks, and now he's, you know, way back. And he, as he said when he left, came out of the infield care center, told us he's in a must-win situation at Charlotte. Obviously the points could work out where he could, you know, point his way in, but realistically, and he understands it, he's in a must-win situation.
Pete, how do you see it all, how it all played out?
Well, I think, you know, what Dustin said about Denny Hamlin, you know, we talked about Jimmy Johnson back in the day having that golden horseshoe.
We found it.
I think Denny had it, certainly the Dustin's point. 17 below. And, you know, let's be honest, he was back there not completely by design. I know there was a lot of talk about Atlanta when they went in with that strategy about trying to come out of there and stay away from the trouble. But because he had the damage on the nose of the car from an earlier incident, then he just had nowhere to go. So it couldn't have worked out better for him coming at the expense to a lot of guys at the front of the field, and not the least of which Austin Cindric. You know, and when everything kind of settled and you look at where we are, it's really not that tight for the guys that are above the cut line. It's more about, I think, when we get to the Roval, guys who are below the cut line, they're going to really have to figure out a way to make it happen. We don't have that tight of a top 12 in terms of one point's going to matter here or there because of the way things shook out after that big crash on Sunday at Talladega.
The thing is, I mean, look at, you know, Joey Logano had a decent run going, and
yes,
he all of a sudden dropped below the cut line. He's 13 points below the cut line.
He was running like fifth at the time. Chase Elliott was running fourth at the time. And was it Elliott finished 29th? And I think Logano was in the 20s, 22nd or something, even further back than that. So Chase is on the he's the last transfer spot. Joey's below the cut line. But, you know, you talk about in terms of points. Hey, with this new track layout at the Charlotte Roval, and especially with the hairpin now, what if, you know, something crazy happens and then you get a bottleneck and all of a sudden one lane or a lane and a half gets blocked and a few cars are able to run by? Suddenly you could lose 8, 10, 12, 15 points really quickly. So to Pete's point, even though the points aren't close in the sense of 1 point or 2 points not being, you know, a key thing, and yeah, Chase is 13 ahead of Joey Logano. Boy, if you get caught, if you're on the wrong side, if something happens in that hairpin or something else on the Roval, you know, your point situation could change dramatically very quickly.
I think the one thing you look at, and that you can kind of maybe if you're a Joey Logano fan or a Suarez fan or a Cindric fan or a Briscoe fan, the one thing, Pete, maybe you could find solace in is those four guys are all good on road courses. So if you look at it and say they need to get a lot of points or they need a win, they probably have the ability to do that. You can't, you know, it's not like you're looking at a guy, like we were talking about it with Denny Hamlin, who has had mixed success on road courses, and you would hate to see him in that situation if you're a Denny Hamlin fan, 17 points below the cut line, because you'd feel like he would have a hard time making that up.
Yeah, I think you're right, Brett. I think when you think about Suarez for sure and Briscoe, who, you know, has been really good back when in his Xfinity Series days, so good on a road course, I think there is that part of it as well. But, you know, as Dustin brought up, this is not, and we've been at the Roval for a few years now, but this is going to be different. And, you know, I've talked to already a couple of drivers and crew chiefs this week on Sirius XM, and they don't know how this is going to play itself out. There's going to be a big bottleneck there when we get to that hairpin turn, that the best road course racer in the world might not have anywhere to go, and you can have another big accident. It's not going to be 28 cars like we had at Talladega, but I think getting through that, there are a lot of landmines out there, I think, on this road course. So even guys like that who are good road racers, to your point, they're not no guarantee whatsoever this weekend. And I think that's why, I think we all know why, this race is where it is on the playoff grid to be the last race of this round.
And with Stenhouse winning the race, and let's give him due. I mean, he has always been a good speedway racer, maybe at times a little too aggressive, but you can't say that in this instance.
No, I mean, great win for him. Great win for that organization. You know, he's got victories now in back-to-back seasons for the first time in his career. You know, certainly the team, you'll take any victory. You certainly would like to have it in the regular season so he could get into the playoffs and be higher in the points. He does move up a few spots, but he's still way back in the points. I think he's 24th now. So, but yeah, you know, for a team that has not had as many things go right as they hoped, This was a big thing, and, you know, maybe build some momentum toward the end of the season and maybe be able to carry that into next year. And look, for any team, it's always important to kind of have some sort of momentum going in the off season. I mean, this is a long enough season as it is, and you get burned out, and then you've got a short period where you've got to get it turned around and get ready for next year. Anything that you can build off of is always a big thing, and this might be one of those moments for JTG.
And, Pete, there was a lot of emotion that went with that win because, of course, one of the owners of that team is Brad Doherty. He's from Black Mountain, North Carolina. As we think about all that's going on for the people in Western North Carolina, that was one of the towns that was hit very hard by the flooding and Hurricane Helene.
Yeah, certainly very, very, you know, obviously we're thinking of all those folks down there, but a very emotional win. You know, Brad Doherty, one of the team owners from Asheville, you know, North Carolina as well. But, you know, I think when you pull back, though, and talk a little bit more about Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And we talked a lot about this last week, and I know on the NBC telecast on Sunday they talked about this. There's a lot of randomness at Talladega. We know that. But when you talk about skill set and talent, the same names come up at Talladega, Daytona, and Atlanta. We always talk about Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney, but we probably should talk a little bit more about Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I mean, this is his third win of the four on a super speedway, including the Daytona 500. He's really good at this kind of racing, and I think sometimes we dismiss that, so I don't want that to get lost. Yes, it's great for the team, but I also think from Ricky's standpoint, he's one of the guys, when we go back super speedway racing next year, you should not sleep on the driver of that race car, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He's really good at this kind of racing.
And one thing this does is it guarantees, Dustin, that there will be three guys at least advancing into the round of eight on points.
Yeah, I think this is just going to be fascinating. I mean, right now, William Byron's the only one who has secured a spot in the next round, so you've got 11 drivers going for the final seven spots. So, you know, this schedule was set up, the playoff schedule was set up for chaos, and there's certainly been a good bit of chaos, and now you have the potential for even more chaos going into the Charlotte Roval.
Yeah, with Ross Chastain obviously winning at Kansas, and then Stenhouse winning, two guys outside the playoffs. Pete, for those who are, you know, or wondering why I said guaranteed three. Yeah, three guys are going to make it on points, and it could be all four if you have a guy like, Shane Van Gisbergen happen to win at Charlotte.
You know, it is really interesting, isn't it? Guys, think about it. We've had three different playoff, three non-playoff drivers win, because Chris Buescher won at the Glen in the first round, and he wasn't a playoff driver as well. So, you know, that's a little bit rare. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. becomes the 18th different winner, so we're kind of in that mode right now. Right, I don't feel like anybody has really taken the reins of this playoff picture right now. To Dustin's point, yeah, William Byron is into the next round, but that's it. So I do think there's a lot up for grabs on Sunday, And listen, I would not be surprised if we're talking about next week another non-playoff driver winning, and then you have a lot of guys going to the next round through the point system.
Right, when we come back, there was a lot of controversy coming out of that 27-car pileup. Who should have been towed back to the garage? Who should have been given a chance to repair their car? What should NASCAR's policy be going forward? These guys have all the answers, right? We'll find out when we come back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Need a little help? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Racing country, music from the fast lane.
Hey, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country.
Hi, I'm Christopher Bell, and this is the fastest 2 hours on the radio, Racing Country. I still have a lot to prove to compete at the level that I want to compete at. We have more to accomplish in the sport, and we want to do better than what we've done the last 2 years.
Racing country, music from the fast lane.
The grassroots is where the hometown heroes of Friday and Saturday nights are and where the future stars of NASCAR are made.
First career win for James Friesen of the TAS Racing Sportsman Series.
PRN's At the Track is a people show about the people of grassroots racing. The stories and journeys from the grassroots are always unique. PRN's At the Track covers the people of America's fattest bull rings. Hear PRN's At the Track each week on broadcast radio stations, the free PRN app, or at goprn.com.
Get your short track racing fix with PRN's At the Track. Visit goprn.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
And welcome back with Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and also Dustin Long from NBC Sports. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Pete, I know you guys had a chance to talk to Elton Sawyer this week from NASCAR about the damaged vehicle policy. You know, we always talk about you try to plan on worst-case scenarios when you come up with a policy, but I think 27-car pileup went beyond worst-case scenario. And coming off of what happened at Kansas with Josh Berry, I think NASCAR probably became hypersensitive to trying to make sure everybody was really damaged beyond repair before they determined they were out of the race, right?
Well, that's the answer we got, and you're right. And I think, you know, the bottom line is we all know why this policy was put into place, and I'm on board with the policy, and I think most of the garages as well. But how do you implement it? And now there's a lot of questions. I mean, the minute we got done with Elton Sawyer, to your point, Brett, we had Adam Stevens on, Christopher Bell's crew chief, and I asked him point blank if he understood the rule, and he said absolutely not. And that's the problem going forward. We still have five races to go, yet they're going to look at it and maybe try to tweak it, and they need to tweak it in the offseason. But what do you do in the here and now? Nobody is sure when you play triage out there who goes first, who gets the pit towed back to pit road, who makes the decision of whether or not that car can continue. You mentioned Josh Berry the week before at Kansas. He said he had four flat tires. We were told that the in-car data went off and that the impact was so severe that NASCAR felt the car wasn't able to continue. It's a big mess right now. And you're right. I mean, when you get 28 cars, that brings it up to the highest level, but you got to be ready for everything. And now as we go forward, I don't think anybody understands this rule. And I think that's problematic to that garage area. We've been talking about in our first segment about, we think there's going to be chaos at the Roval. I'm sure there'll be damaged race cars. What happens on Sunday or Saturday for that matter, in the Xfinity Series, when some of the same stuff happens and no one knows what's good to keep continuing or which cars need to go behind the wall and are out of the race for the day?
I know, Dustin, you had a chance to talk to some of the teams on pit road after the race, and there are a lot of unhappy people.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal is, you know, you ask the question, what is the rule? And the rule is very clear. It's what's in the rule book. What changed is how NASCAR applied it. And look, you can give NASCAR credit for trying to do the right thing after the Josh Berry incident. But, you know, the problem is, you know, when you change how you're going to do a rule, is that not essentially a rule change? And I think the frustration among teams is that this policy or approach to this rule, let's put it this way, this approach to the rule changed after Kansas to Talladega, and nobody was aware of it. Nobody knew. Because, I heard on the radio people talking about, why are they towing cars back? They're working on cars. They're doing this. What's going on? Nobody knew. And look, you know, NASCAR has its processes. Everything got overwhelmed because of the incident. And I think there were some decisions that were not made. You know, everything went haywire, and it just built upon itself. And I think you had a situation where you had, you know, multiple cars towed, including a couple of playoff cars. And, you know, look, it was quite clear that Chase Elliott's car hit the wall and had the damage. I mean, he had a crew guy, you know, on the hood of his car trying to bat it down. Whereas, you know, last week, Josh Berry didn't have really as much evidence. And I understand the whole thing about the incident data recorder. I know it was something they talked to us about, Pete. I go back to, you know, if you're going to use that as an excuse, then I think about they made the change at Watkins Glen at the bus stop based off of, I think that was more the drivers as opposed to incident data recorders, but did the incident data recorders record, you know, that too as well, because we saw how much the drivers were taking with their data. And so there's just got to be a better way to do this. And even NASCAR would agree that everything did not go as well, and it created a mess. And, you know, I asked Elton after the race, I was like, okay, look, I know you guys talked about, you're going to look at this for the rest, you know, after in the off season, but what are you doing from this point on to the next five races? And, you know, part of his point was, well, I don't think we're going to have a 25 car wreck again. So I think we'll get that sorted out. And realistically, I think he's right, but there are a couple mile and a halfs, restarts get crazy. And if something happens at the start and it's late in the race and it involves a bunch of playoff drivers, and we're looking at who's going to make it or not make it to the championship four, boy, you better have something in place, and you better have it pretty clear to the entire garage. I mean, I heard an interview on Sirius today with Mike Kelly, Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s crew chief, and he says, hey, you know, the best thing might be is after all the crew chiefs pick pits at Charlotte this weekend, we're all there. Hey, just tell us what the top policy is and how you're going to enforce it. And maybe it's as simple as that. Let the competitors know, let the media know, so the fans know, so everybody has an understanding, because, you know, what happened Sunday was not a best case scenario and best reaction on NASCAR's part.
Well, Pete and Dustin and both of you guys used two key words, playoff drivers. And I don't think anybody feels like playoff drivers need to be given preferential treatment in these instances, because, hey, NASCAR prides himself in still running regular races during the playoffs. It just happens that there are people who are playing for greater stakes than some of the other guys are.
It's the most important time of the year for those drivers. You're right, Brett, but the rule for any sport has to be applied across the board fairly to everyone. And then when the competitors don't understand the rule, that makes that even that much more difficult. I mean, you just go back. I mean, you had Chase Briscoe in his car with his crew chief, Richard Boswell, saying, don't let the safety people take down your window net. And Boswell's texting the tower to see if he can get clarification from NASCAR officials, because they didn't know how to handle it. And it's just chaotic. And it's just not a good look. So again, yeah, playoff drivers shouldn't get special dispensation, but obviously they have the most to lose in the situation you were in now. Then you take, you know, kind of pull back to the fan base. Well, the fan base right away will say, well, wait a minute, why are you telling back the 9 and the 14? Are you playing favorites when you told us last week you weren't going to play favorites? Why'd you take those two back? And again, it's just one of those situations where I think the gist of the rule, I think everybody gets and why it's there, but how it's enforced, that to me was such a mess yesterday. I don't know how you go forward here. And we keep many drivers, many crew chiefs have said they don't know what to do now if they're in the same situation they were in at Talladega.
I got to talk to Chase Briscoe after the race on Sunday and ask him about it. And he said he originally was told to exit the car and he remained in the vehicle. And then he told me, and I'm just going to read the quote. He goes, "It was confusing. We had 10 different stories of what to do between they're going to do the air jacks and then you had to get out, then they're going to push you, and then they were going to tow you, then they're going to push you again." It just constantly kept changing. And again, you know, I saw a video on social media in car from Joey Logano's car in that incident, and you you hear Joey, you know, saying, hey, he wants to keep going, and an official coming over and trying to do triage to the car and tell him, hey, your radiator's busted or whatever, and then running to the next car and to the next car and the next car. Look, there needs to be a process. And I was talking to somebody about this today, and you know, I know there's a question about who makes that decision, but you know, in this situation, it's got to be officials, you know, right there, because the tower is a mile and a half away. Even with the cameras, you know, showing everything, the people on the ground have the best thing. Hey, in a situation like that, you have the officials with a red sticker or something. I mean, a red strip of tape, and if they deem the car is cannot continue, and a car like, I'll just use the 22 in this case, is saying that the radiator was broken and it was leaking and it's not going to be, you know, it can't continue. You stick the red tape on that car, either on the hood or on the over above the driver's side door, and everybody knows that person's got to get out and leave that car alone. Go to the next car, and do that. I know we were at a media event today. I was talking with AJ Allmendinger, and he was saying that, you know, they're asking, hey, do you want to be pushed or towed or what? And he's like, heck, I just want you to get those four cars in front of me out of the way so I can keep going. So it was, you know, again, I feel for the few NASCAR officials that were on the ground there in turn three, because there weren't many, and they're having to go from car to car to car. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of hot drivers, and it's a very intense situation. And again, it was everything coming together in a negative way. And again, you know, NASCAR said, you know, NASCAR agreed it was not handled as well as it could be. Again, it's hard to plan for a 25, 28 car crash or whatever it was. But I think that NASCAR has to look at its process, and I think NASCAR has to basically plan as if there is going to be a race in the next five where there will be a 15, 20 car wreck, and understand, okay, how are we going to do this? I mean, this truly has to be triage of what cars, and you've got to figure out who you're going to have. And if it's a case you don't have the right officials, then make sure you got officials who know these cars well and say, you're in, you're out, no, go.
Yeah, and red flag the race until you can figure out who can go and who can't go.
Yes, everything stops. Now, again, that, you know, this does not need to be taking 30 minutes, okay? I mean, this is still got to happen in a short window, and, you know, because you've got, you know, I can speak on behalf of, you know, well, I'm not going to speak on behalf of NBC, but I can say as an NBC, look, these races are on NBC. You know, there's NBC News, that nightly news that comes on after that. So, yes, we can go into that maybe a little bit, but, you know, we have to be respectful of other things on the network. And obviously, you've got Sunday Night Football. Now, I'm not saying you do something just because of TV, because that's, you know, not the case. But I think you have to be, realize of everything. And again, you know, you don't want the fans sitting in the stands for half an hour with nothing going on.
How many of the cars, some of the cars, you know, maybe 50% of the cars, and I'm throwing out a number, Pete, I may be wrong. Maybe 50% of the cars, it's pretty obvious that they can't continue. The number that are iffy may be 50%.
Yeah. But you still have to do the triage. I mean, that's the right word that Dustin used there. And so my question is, you know, do you need more efficient? I mean, I don't think a tow truck driver should be the guy making the call whether a car should go back or not. He needs to be instructed, or she, about what to do. And that seemed to be the problem. You mentioned the red flag, then that got messed up too, because then they took the red flag off. They put the caution out. That let some teams start to work on their race cars. And, you know, Elton Sawyer told us again today on SiriusXM that was a mistake. So the whole thing sort of kept kind of folding over on itself, that it was just a big, big mess. And you got to figure out a way not to have that happen again. And you got to plan for the fact that there possibly could be a 20-car accident again so you don't have to deal with it. You cannot wait to the offseason to say this is going to be a hot front burner topic. To me, it's a front burner topic right now.
And again, it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback, but once they went from red to yellow and realized, you know, Elton told us that the race directors realized that they couldn't get the vehicles going immediately. So there was that delay in moving the field as cars are being worked on a pit road. I think you throw the red back out. You have to just stop it and say, okay, everybody, we're going to have to catch our breath. We're going to reset, get away from the cars, and let's get the track cleared, and then we'll open everything back up. Because, yes, those cars on pit road did get an advantage of having the opportunity to work on it as the field was not moving and the field was not coming around. And, again, I don't know how much time they gained, but every little thing anybody can gain is always a big thing.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, one of the top teams or one of the teams is making some crew chief changes for the rest of the year. We'll talk about that when we return.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline ticket, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. That's 800-397-6805.
Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit GoPRN.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
Speedway Children's Charities raises money through several different avenues. My favorite is the gala.
It's one of those can't-miss events for everybody who attends. And I've been able to raise and distribute over $60 million.
When you have 50 different organizations receiving grants from Speedway Children's Charities, that's far-reaching. And some people think, well, I don't have much money to give. I say, $50 is a lot to give.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Check out all of our show pages on GoPRN.com to find archived shows and more. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Dustin Long from NBC Sports, Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Legacy Motor Club has announced some crew chief changes, at least for the rest of this year, as Dave Ellen's now out. Dustin and Ben Bisher will take his place on the 43 car. And then Brian Campy is going to move to the 42 car. He's been recently added in the front office.
He's kind of a technical director
there. And so he's going to crew chief for the rest of this year on the 42 car. Kind of an interesting change. And I know Jimmy Johnson has said this week, appearing on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, that he understands this has been a very disappointing year for that organization, that they didn't achieve what they had hoped to achieve.
Well, I think there was excitement for Legacy Motor Club in moving to Toyota in the idea that, hey, this would help elevate the status of the organization. But that Legacy Motor Club did not do the full partnership or alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing and Toyota, and that they're kind of doing it a little bit on their own. I think that, you know, raised eyebrows at the beginning of the season, and I think there were those who thought, boy, this is going to be really tough to kind of make this transition from, even though the car is essentially the same, but still there's unique parts from a Chevrolet to a Toyota, or at least how the car handles and some things like that with aero, that it was going to be a challenge. And if you were not going to have the full alliance, that You know, it's going to be interesting to see. I think a lot of people have a lot of respect for Erik Jones and what he can do. And look, he's a two-time Southern 500 winner. He's won it also at Daytona, the summer race. So, you know, he's a very good driver. We've seen what John Hunter Nemechek can do in the Xfinity Series, and he's had some good runs here at times. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you'd like to see Legacy Motor Club have a full opportunity. Now, that's partially up to them if they're not able or willing to spend the money, or maybe they're just trying to be fiscally responsible at this point. But if they're not able to spend, you know, what they need to get all the bells and whistles, then this is what they have.
Pete, I think Johnson was talking to you and Mike Bagley this week, and one of the things I heard that kind of jumped out at me is he's talking about trying to reinstitute or develop their own culture now. And I wonder if this move or these moves are part of that, trying to redevelop the culture there.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, and again, I appreciated Jimmy. You know, he didn't really pull any punches when he was with us. And he said, listen, it's unacceptable. This is not what we had hoped for. I get the technical side of it that Dustin explained there. But, you know, it's funny. Last offseason, I think we had listeners tell us the two teams and drivers they felt they were going to really take that next step forward. Well, one was Corey LaJoie and Spire Motorsports. And look what happened there. They wound up swapping Corey over to Rick Ware Racing and Justin Haley to the 7. And the other one was Legacy Motor Club. A lot of folks felt, and I was on that list, that they would take a step forward with this new Toyota alignment there. You know, again, I think Erik Jones, listen, he just finished top 5 at Talladega. I think he's a good enough driver. John Nemechek, I think, has shown he can be. They just need to get the right chemistry there. And I know, you know, we talk about culture, and a lot of times that's maybe one of the things we throw around in the world of sports too much, but I think it really means something at Legacy to kind of get where they want to be. But they got to get, A, those race cars a lot faster and a lot more durable, and then B, just make sure the chemistry is right with driver and crew chief. And I'm all for this, guys. I mean, if you knew you were going to make a change, why wait to the end of the year? Why not get a jump start on it and a head start on it and have 5 races this year for those drivers and crew chiefs to work together? And I thought it was a good move for Legacy to do that this week.
I really don't want to spend a lot of time on this next topic because I think for a lot of fans, it's kind of in the weeds a little bit. But the lawsuit that has been made against NASCAR by 2311 and also by Front Row about this whole charter situation. It's happened since the last time we did the show, and I know some of the other owners talked about it this past weekend, Dustin. I think this is going to be a long road before this whole thing is resolved. But the owners that have signed the charter agreements already, what was their reaction as you had a chance to talk to them this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think what they're saying publicly and what they're thinking are probably, in some cases, a little bit different. I think they're all paying very close attention. I'm sure that they're all hoping that you know, more things come out and they receive, you know, 2311 and Front Row Motorsports win more benefits that can be spread across the entire garage. So we'll see what happens. You know, everybody's kind of hesitant talking too much publicly about it at this point. And they're still, like you said, it's just started. We haven't even heard NASCAR's response and, you know, where things go from there.
I think the interesting thing to me, Pete, is going to be where does this go next year? Because if 2311 and Front Row aren't signing the charter agreement, do they have charters for next year? Where does that stand?
Yeah, well, they would like to have, and I think they, you know, obviously they filed an injunction. So while this is going on, they can still have those charters bred for next year. But I know I heard Steve Lauletta, the president of 2311, and even Denny Hamlin say that they're going to run as open teams next year if they had to. You know, again, my take on this has been this. I mean, and we see this in other sports, and now here it is in NASCAR. From a fan perspective, I don't know how many fans. I think this is an important case for sure about what it's going to do to NASCAR going forward. But it's that whole, do fans really care about millionaires versus billionaires, or in this case, billionaires versus billionaires, and the kind of the court of public opinion? I'm not sure. I mean, I think we all owe it to ourselves to cover the event and cover the story, but I don't know how much fans are interested in this. And I think I agree with you. I mean, this is going to be a long road. I would think that maybe it might get settled before it goes to court. But if it doesn't and it goes into court, it's going to be interesting to see what both sides find to go down this path as far as they have. And it was interesting to hear Richard Childress talk over the weekend. Because up until now, we've not heard from some of the owners that did sign the agreement. And he made it sound like, listen, he was basically told take it or leave it. That he was told at, 6:37 on that Friday night before the Atlanta race that he needed to sign something. If he didn't do it by midnight, they were going to take the charters away. So there's a lot of posturing, a lot of different things out there in the media. But at the end of it all, I just think this is going to be something that's going to take some time before it comes to some sort of a resolution.
All right, when we come back, the Xfinity Series has the end of their round of 12 this week at Charlotte. And it's going to be really interesting because there are a couple of pretty good road course racers below the cut line right now. Stay with us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
It's Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get up to a $25 gift card after rebate with the purchase of select Superstart batteries. We'll test your old battery for free and recommend the right battery for your vehicle. For power, performance, and reliability, choose Superstart batteries only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For NASCAR fans just tuning in, I'm Kyle Petty, here with Echo Park, the official used car of Speedway Motorsports. This season will be the most exciting one yet with the introduction of Echo Park's Coffee Cup Series, a pre-race event where race fans can grab coffee, ask me questions, and check out the great cars of Echo Park. And this just in, fans will be entered for the chance to win a VIP ticket upgrade and ride in the pace car. Echo Park, every car, happy owner.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
We saw a lot of chaos in the closing laps of the race. So just trying to minimize that, make it more about a race than people just using each other up.
I think it's needed. It was needed at all the road courses.
While I don't think it's going to be a home run, I think that it'll be in the right direction.
So many opportunities to either be really good or make mistakes, and they can start adding up on you quick.
For the latest NASCAR news without a restrictor plate, it's PRN's Garage Pass. For the station near you, check us out at goprn.com.
Hi, this is PRN's David Stiles. Join me each week when I head over to JC's Garage to talk NASCAR.
As of right now, if I were to name my top five, I could tell you Chase Elliott wouldn't be in that top five with this next-gen car. He has a lot to prove on the road courses with this next-gen car, but I still don't think there's a real out-front leader. I think Tyler Reddick has been outstanding.
That's JC's Garage, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, you can get up to $25 off on an O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after rebate with the purchase of select Superstart batteries. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for the power, performance, and reliability of a new Superstart battery or visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. And once again, you can get a $25 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after rebate. And welcoming back along with Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Dustin Long from NBC Sports, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. The interesting thing in the Xfinity Series, you know, it wasn't a walk-off for Sammy Smith, Pete, but it was darn close to it as he was at the bottom of the barrel, and now all of a sudden he's locked into the round of eight. Couldn't have gone better for him at Talladega, could it?
That's for sure. And when you think about the rest of the day for Junior Motorsports with his teammates getting in an accident and Sam Mayer getting disqualified and they're appealing that penalty, what a day it turned out for him and what it did to the playoff picture that you mentioned, Brett, as we go to the Roval. Did not have Sammy Smith on my bingo card winning and moving on, but he did. And that really makes Saturday's race very interesting at a racetrack where in that field there are a lot of good road course racers that I think can really make a mark. So I have no idea what's going to happen, but Sammy Smith certainly upset the apple cart on the playoff picture with that win at Talladega on Saturday.
And Dustin, as we record this show, pending the hearing on Mayer and what happens with that, you still have Allmendinger, Allgaier, and Van Gisbergen all dancing right around that cut line. And, oh, by the way, Allgaier in the Xfinity Series at the Roval, unbeaten. 3-for-3.
Allmendinger?
Allmendinger. What did I say? Allgaier? Allmendinger.
Yeah.
You know, I had them back to back in Pitts one time. That was a tough day.
Well, I'll also say, you know, Parker Clearman, his road racing experience, yeah. I mean, my NBC sports colleague as well. So, I think a lot of people are thinking that this is a Shane Van Gisbergen race and he's going to win it. He's won his three races, were on the road courses, which if it happens, he's below the cut line. That takes another spot from somebody, just like Sammy Smith took somebody's spot by winning at Talladega. So, the schedule is put together for chaos, and you've certainly got it in the Xfinity series. With Allgaier, Van Gisbergen at the bottom, below the cut line, and Allmendinger at this moment, holding on to the final transfer spot.
And the thing is, you look at those guys around the cut line, Pete, and you think about that. All right, there they are. But if an Allmendinger, an Allgaier, a Van Gisbergen pop up and pick up that win, all of a sudden a guy like Riley Herbst, who's sitting there at this moment 20 points above the cut line, all of a sudden he's the guy sitting there on the cut line.
I really feel like Saturday's got more of a chance of that kind of thing happening than even Sunday that we talked about with the drivers below the cut line, although there are some good road course racers on the cup side, as you mentioned, with Suarez and Briscoe. But that's some really good talent there that I have no issue saying today that one of those three easily could win that race. I mean, the Shane Van Gisbergen story, we all know. AJ Allmendinger, to your point, undefeated there. Don't feel bad about Allmendinger and Allgaier. One time I called a Jeb Burton pit stop, I had Jeb Bush in the car. So don't feel too bad about that.
I've done that too. I think I did that in an interview once, and he corrected me.
So again, to Dustin's point, this schedule was created for what we're talking about, chaos. It's fascinating. You don't know who's going to come out the other end when this is all said and done to go to the next round. And I really think on the Xfinity Series side, we're going to get a lot of that on Saturday afternoon there in Charlotte.
Hey, Dustin, let me give NBC some props for last weekend at Talladega. The TV numbers were up over 23% from last year's TV numbers at Talladega. It was the most watched playoff race since the 2022 championship. So obviously, this has been a year that we've seen TV numbers up pretty much from the Fox part of the schedule to the NBC part of the schedule. But this is a huge jump.
Well, the key is that I wasn't on television. So, folks, if you want to keep me off television, then keep turning into the channel and watching the broadcast, and that'll keep me off the air. So, it's great for us. And, I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't had a chance to with our group, but I'm sure they're very happy about, the increase and certainly wanting to carry that momentum over into the final 5 weeks, just as the sport is, wanting to carry that momentum and gathering gaining the interest of fans and continuing the storylines into this weekend at the Charlotte Roval, then into the round of eight, and then the championship round at Phoenix in a few weeks.
What does it say to you, Pete, that you got a huge jump? That's a significant jump.
Well, it is, and let's not forget, it goes against a big day of NFL football. We know NFL is the king right now in sports in this country, and to have it go up, I think it says a couple of things. One, I think just Talladega. I know there's always consternation when we come out of Talladega, guys. There's always a controversy, and certainly we had that over the weekend on Sunday. But I think that kind of racing and that racetrack has always been a big draw. And I'll tell you the other thing, again, tip of the cap, in my opinion, to NBC, because we hear this from fans when they call SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, the NASCAR nonstop, and having commercials go side by side where you're not breaking away like a traditional telecast. I think that also helped as well. So that's great. To Dustin's point, that's good momentum for the sport going forward. And I would think that would lead into what we got on Sunday, because the stakes being as high as they are with the playoff picture and who moves on to the round of eight when we get down there at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Maybe Lee Diff will just say it's all him and ask for a raise.
give him all the credit, whatever it is. So, it's been fun to watch. And look, it's been some fascinating storylines. I think, as Pete mentioned earlier, I mean, what, three of the playoff races have been won by non-playoff drivers. So it's not a guarantee that a playoff driver is going to win. Again, if I'm a fan of somebody that's not a playoff driver, I still have a reason to watch these races because there's the chance that they could pull it out. And look, I think when you look at the Charlotte Roval, I think a lot of people look at it as among the favorites, Shane Van Gisbergen in the cup race and AJ Allmendinger. Those are not, people that are running in the playoffs, and I think you could probably find a few others. A Martin Truex Jr. still looking for his first win of the season and in his final full-time season. So, I think it would almost be – I think it would be great justice if Martin Truex Jr. won this weekend after how he lost the first Roval race where he was leading in the contact with Jimmy Johnson. All of a sudden, Ryan Blaney finds himself crossing the finish line first and headed toward victory lane. So there's a lot of great storylines out there, and you know, I think that there's a lot of reasons for people to watch at this point.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Roval, a new layout. Stay with us.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. That's 800-748-0593.
More of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside, Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with Dustin Long from NBC Sports, Pete Bastoni from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Pete, as we go to the Roval this time, a new layout, how do you think that's going to affect the race?
Well, from what we've heard from drivers and crew chiefs, it's going to affect it in a big way, because that hairpin now that is part of the new layout, it's going to really bottle up those race cars as they come out of the infield and get back on the oval track, turn number one there. So I think, to me, first and foremost, that's where you're going to see the biggest change in a racetrack that's already been challenging. You know, we talked about the Martin Truex Jr., Jimmy Johnson situation in year one. We've seen Brad Keselowski and drivers go off of heartburn turn there down the main straightaway into that barrier off of turn one. And over the course of time, that back straight, a little chicane, we've seen issues there. So I think this just adds the degree of difficulty to an already very difficult racetrack. And as I've been saying pretty much all week long, there's going to be a byproduct of this, and that's going to be cars getting into one another and damage race cars. It's just going to be a matter of who stays out of the fracas there and the chaos, because we're going to get chaos, there's no doubt, on Saturday and Sunday.
A lot of the focus has been on that turn seven hairpin and even turn six, because there's an elevation change, and I think that there's a blind spot, or because of the elevation change and going up for these guys and trying to get set up for the corners. But in talking with AJ Allmendinger today, you know, he talked about was it turn 16 on the front stretch chicane, and how that is tighter, has been made tighter as a tighter right hand turn as a part of that chicane than last year. And he said, look, last year when I was leading, I had William Byron like three car lengths behind me as I was going through NASCAR Oval turns three and four, and I'm like, he's not going to catch up with me unless I do something wrong into the chicane. AJ says, now with this tighter chicane and you've really got to do heavier braking, he says, look, if you're three car lengths behind me, I better be prepared for you to come up and make a move or hit me in the back as I go into that corner. And now that chicane's a little bit tighter, so it just makes it slower and harder to get through. So, you know, I know, like I said, the focus is on turn seven with the hairpin and even six leading into that. But I would watch out for that front chicane because it's been slightly adjusted. And, you know, that's, even though we say slightly, you know, that's a significant thing, at least for somebody like AJ, where he says, hey, look, I now have to worry about somebody three car lengths behind me because they may out, you know, really come in and just charge the corner hard and they're going to ram me in the back or make a move.
Well, Pete, we talked earlier about the fact that it's unusual that we're going into a cutoff race and there is nobody within single digits in the Cup Series of the cut line. And that makes me wonder what would I be doing if I were a crew chief for one of these cars strategically. And I got to really believe, and if I'm the guy below the cut line, I would be thinking that I've got to be aggressive early and getting as many points as I possibly can in stage one and stage two. Would you be thinking the same thing or would you have a different strategy?
No, for sure. I mean, you have to. I think the drivers ahead are going to be, I won't say prevent defense, but they're just going to try to maintain where they are. So you don't have to take any risk. But I think all the risk comes from the drivers below that cut line. Quite frankly, I think a lot of this is going to start on Saturday with qualifying. They get a little extra practice, but track position is going to be key. So if you're one of those drivers below the cut line and you're trying to make that move to get the win and get out of the basement and move on, I think you have to have a really good starting spot on the racetrack and a really good spot on pit road. So I think it starts early, but for sure, if I were one of those four below that cut line, I've got to be as aggressive. Everything's on the line. I mean, this is it. So why not go for it as hard as you can? And that would be my philosophy and strategy.
Pete's absolutely right. It comes down to qualifying. The weekend starts with the practice, with the extra practice session, with the qualifying is going to be key. I'm looking at last year's race results, and let's see. Ross Chastain started 12th, and he was the deepest in the field who scored stage points in both stages. So nobody, you know, I think there were some drivers outside the top 12 that scored points in one stage or the other, but nobody, you know, deeper than that scored in both stages. So if you're starting way back in the back, like remember, like Kyle Larson last year in practice hit the wall, had to go to a backup car, had to start at the rear of the field, and you know, he didn't score points in the first stage. So it's very, very difficult to start, you know, at the tail end of the field and try to get into that top 10 before the end of that first stage. So you've got to be clean in practice. You've got to put down a good lap in qualifying and put yourself in a right in a good position. Because if you're starting 20th on back, now you have to think, okay, there's a good chance I may not get stage points in the first stage. So how do I play this to either put myself in a position where I'm going to have a winning strategy? But realistically, if you're starting 20th, you may not have a winning car, at least to start off, to begin the race with. So now you've got to figure out, how do I get as many points as possible in the second stage to try to do something? So qualifying is going to be very pivotal. And I'm looking at it from last year's race, 1, 2, 3, 5 of the top 6 finishers all started in the top 10. So the deepest who finished in the first 6 was William Byron, who started 14th. So nobody after 14th finished in the top 6. So again, that's a lot of stage points. You know, road course races, because you have some guys flip stages, you typically do not see somebody score 50 points. Typically a good road course race is 43, 44, 45, 46 points. So in essence, it kind of narrows the window a little bit for some of these guys with points. So now you have to look at winning the race.
It's going to be crazy to watch, and the different strategies are going to be interesting to see how they all play out. And I agree with you. Qualifying throughout these playoffs has been super, super important for everybody. This week's O'Reilly Pit Reporter's question is, how many drivers will go from below the cut line at the Roval to advance? And your choices are 0, 1, 2, or 3. So how many do you think will go from below the cut line?
Not doing 4?
Not doing. I ran out of spots.
Graphics department.
Graphics. Last week we asked you, will Kyle Busch keep his win streak alive? And 55% said yes. 57% said yes, and 43% said no.
Interesting. Right.
Interesting. And there's time's running out.
Late support in the polls went from 55 to 57.
That's exactly right. A couple of absentee ballots came in. When we come back.
Were those from Welcome, North Carolina?
Might be.
Maybe, yes.
When we come back, white flag lap. Stay with us.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Extend the life of your engine with a full synthetic oil change and save at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, pick up 5 quarts of O'Reilly Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a MicroGuard oil filter for $29.99. Or upgrade to a MicroGuard Select filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. Offer in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, and it's so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Z-Max for your car, big rigs, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts store. Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
The green flag is out. We're underway. Tyler Reddick with a big jump.
Chase Elliott looks below. Christopher Bell. They'll go side by side through turn number 8.
Kyle Busch on the outside had some momentum coming off the banking. He'll have to now tuck in behind A.J. Allmendinger.
A.J. Allmendinger will look to the inside. The two nearly touch.
It's the Bank of America Roval 400 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Sunday, October 13th, 1 p.m. Eastern on PRN.
About ready to race on the Roval here in the NASCAR Xfinity Series.
He'll be hustling off that corner at about 170 miles an hour.
Can he get a good run through turn number 7? He'll look to the inside. They'll go side by side through turn number 8.
Daniel Hemric is right on his back bumper as they start to climb the banking in turn 13.
Sam Bear coming down pit road. As you guys mentioned, a lot of strategies all over the place.
A drive for the Cure 250 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Saturday, October 12th at 3 Eastern on PRN. Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
And welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, it's Pete Pistone.
You know, a lot of times during the year, the NASCAR world doesn't always get along. Sometimes you have teams against the sanctioning body right now, teams against teams, organizations against teams. But when the NASCAR community comes together, it's in the time of need. And what's happening right now in Western North Carolina is a great example of that. It's been very rewarding to see teams and tracks and people inside the industry, fans, former driver Greg Biffle, all the work that he's done down there, to all those folks that have been hit by this horrible situation down there and the devastation. And now the same thing happening with Hurricane Milton coming up from the Gulf Coast of Florida, Atlanta Motor Speedway opening up their doors to fans. The NASCAR community, guys, always comes through, and I hate it when it's times like this that it has to come through, but it's very, very rewarding to see and makes me proud to be part of the NASCAR community and thank everybody for everything they've done so far here with that devastation in Western North Carolina.
It, well said, Pete, and it is. It is a family, no doubt about that. And next up, from NBC Sports, Dustin Long.
I would just echo what Pete said, and I would just remind people that, you know, in Western North Carolina in particular, it is going to be a long recovery, and that, you know, anything that, even if there's something you can't do now, if there's something you can do in the near future or in the future at some point, to keep that in mind, because that community, that area is certainly was hard hit, and it is not going to get, it's going to take time for everything to get back to a normal or what will be a new normal for them. So, just keep those groups, those people in mind, and those in the path of the current hurricane. And, you know, look, it's this is serious. This is life. What we spent the last 50 some minutes talking about, it's fun and games. I mean, it's still a serious thing. You know, just kind of keep those people in mind.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, we are in the entertainment business and hope that maybe if these people can hear us and enjoy the races and get to radios or whatever, that they get a chance to enjoy it. And this has been one of, if not the craziest playoffs that I think I've ever seen. And now that we've reached the end of the second round, I think it could get even crazier. As a fan and a reporter, I absolutely love this. If I were on one of the teams, probably not so much. I can't remember going into the final race of a round of 12 without any driver being within single digits of the cut line. And I figure that promises for a wild Sunday at the Roval with those guys below it jockeying for positions and as many points as possible at the end of the stage. You throw in the new tire, some new twists and turns, literally, at the Roval, and you get ready to see something you never expected to see. Maybe another walk-off? Why not? Pete, Dustin, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week on the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.